And welcome back, everyone. You have reached us at Pop Culture Happy Hour. Once again, I am Linda Holmes. I'm the editor of NPR's pop culture and entertainment blog, Monkey See. And I'm here around the table with my pals on the Pop Culture Happy Hour crew. Steven, tell the nice people who you are.
I am Steven Thompson with NPR Music.
And next to you is...
Oh, I'm sorry. I was downloading an app.
You were downloading an app.
I was downloading an app. Well, why don't you explain who you are?
I'm Trey Graham. I am the movies editor at NPR.org and your colleague on the blog.
And I'm in charge of downloading apps. And how about you, Glenn? Who are you?
I'm Glenn Weldon. I write about books and comic books for the NPR website.
Fantastic. Good to see everybody. Did you have a good week?
Oh, It was the greatest.
Are we all glad to be back? Of course we are, as always.
What would we do without this podcast?
Well, we did talk last week about the possibility that we were going to try to cover more movies and less of The Bachelor, which I specifically received Twitter affirmation of this plan.
Such as, yes, please, and yes, do that.
So we thought that we would start this week by looking ahead, you know, over the next few weeks and months, and perhaps even the remainder of the year, and talk a little bit about the movies that we are thinking about, curious about, perhaps eager to see, and perhaps not so eager to see, perhaps filled with concern, as we would say in feminist process. And so let's start over here. Glenn, tell me about you and movies in 2011. Lay it on me, buddy.
Well, sure. I figured we might start by knocking through the six comic book films that are on slate. And then we can move on to others, because really, we start
pretty clear
the
they're all going to be awesome.
Yes.
Well, no.
History would suggest.
Yes.
I am filled with a heavy, wet dread, actually. Just think about each of these.
Oh, that took a turn.
Yes. Yes. So let's start with the one that's coming out Friday, which I believe our own Trey Graham is seeing tonight, yeah. Green Hornet. Now, every time I mention Green Hornet, somebody says Green Lantern. And every time I mention Green Lantern, somebody says Green Hornet.
No, I am an expert on this now. Green Hornet is the one guy, and Green Lantern
is the other guy.
Is the other guy.
Right.
And they are friends with Flash and Flash Gordon, who are also different.
That took a turn. Okay, so, for anybody confused about the difference between Green Hornet and Green Lantern, there is a blog post that kind of covers and gives you a primer. But Green Hornet is technically not a comic book movie. Can anybody tell me why?
No.
No, I knew that. That heavy silence is what I am used to.
Because it's based on... Because it's radio.
It's based on a radio thing,
wow.
Yeah.
The character... I was going to guess graphic novel.
No.
Linda Holmes.
No one can see me raising the roof.
Linda Holmes is raising the roof.
The roof is being raised. Yeah, he started off as a radio serial character, and there were some novels. And over the years, there have been a comic book or two. And in fact, right now, because there are no fools, there are three different comic books on the stands about Green Hornet. But yeah, he's not technically a comic book character. He's... superhero. Now, this stars Seth Rogen, which is one reason for concern, but it is a Michel Gondry film, and I, for one, have never disliked a Michel Gondry film. Mm-hmm. He's known for trippy visuals, but those visuals always serve the story.
Gondry films such as?
Such as.
Gondry films such as...
Eternal Sunshine.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, and The Science of Sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Be Kind, Rewind.
Be Kind, Rewind, exactly. Is an interesting choice, a surprising choice for a superhero film. So unless he's doing this as some kind of elaborate performance art goof.
A.K.A. like James Franco.
Right, right. Mm. I'm thinking it's at least going to be interesting. What do you all think?
Well, I have three words to respond to that assertion. Ang Lee's Hulk.
I was going to say, is it Ang Lee's Hulk?
Yeah.
Let's hope not.
He's not known for ponderousness, and Ang Lee, even his good films, is known for a certain deliberateness. So, I mean, I'm not excusing the Ang Lee Hulk. I thought it was interesting, but not rousing.
It was a character study.
I
didn't like the newer Hulk either, but...
Yeah.
I'm very, very conflicted about Seth Rogen. There have been things I have really liked Seth Rogen in, including his early TV work, Freaks and Geeks and Undeclared. But his sort of, what I consider to be his sort of stoner personality, I really find tiresome. And in fact, I don't just find it tiresome when it's a character. I recently saw him, they did a Green Hornet special on Mythbusters, and he appeared and went through some of the myths with them. And he laughs exactly like that. It's his real laugh. It's not a put-on. He laughs in that exact way that I sat there and I was like, it's not his fault.
Yeah.
I don't think less of him. But to me, it's so affected and it's kind of off-putting. So the question to me is going to be whether he can do kind of a different thing.
Yeah,
here.
Whether he can act.
Well, I guess my question would be, part of his persona is that he is very loose. He always seems sort of improvisational. It's meandering. And
thus his good collaborations with Apatow and stuff.
Right.
Like that.
And so that works really well, I think, in Judd Apatow movies. Mm-hmm. But what I worry about is the combination of him and Michel Gondry, who's known for sort of flights of fancy, mm-hmm. in what's clearly supposed to be sort of a knockabout, but like bang, bang, fun action movie. Mm-hmm. The worry is that it's just going to wander.
Yes.
Speaking of incongruous directors,
right.
Kenneth Branagh's Thor. Now, he's certainly done big, opulent-looking films before. His
right.
three-hour Hamlet, for example. He's also done really bad movies before. His Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, for example. So if he goes into his mode of bloat, this could not be a fun movie at all. But it does look, from the trailers, it does look crazy in the way that Marvel's Asgard, the home of Thor and the other Norse gods, looks crazy. There's a lot going against this film, I think, though, because A, the character himself, Thor, is kind of a jerk.
As Glenn has discussed
yes.
at some length.
We also have a blog
on
post
the Monkey
on
Sea
this
blog.
We also have a blog post on this point, and I heard from hardcore Thor fans, three of them. But it also, the thing that I worry about this is a god, as Thor is, doesn't have an origin. And origins are what kind of get their hooks in you mm-hmm. with a superhero
sure.
film. A, they get your story in motion. B, they touch on the mythic potential of the story. And C...
At some point, we're going to ask you to do an entire podcast in either that voice or German Glenn.
That would be fun for no one. And finally, they incorporate the wish fulfillment aspect, the adolescent wish fulfillment
right.
aspect of this thing, which, let's be honest, is really why people dig superheroes, or at least
right.
a major reason
right.
why.
So, so what you're saying is that one cannot wish to be like Thor?
Because Thor's a god.
Well, it's not a thing about becoming, although the people who've dealt with it well, with the character well, have done the same thing over and over again, which is, you are exiled from Asgard. You must go live on Earth, and you don't have your powers, and you have amnesia. And that's what this film's doing. So, I mean, they're trying to get around it by doing that. It does look great. I mean, there's costumes, and there's sets that just don't look like they could exist anywhere but a comic book, and now they are in real life. Any thoughts on Thor?
Well, I have no thoughts on Thor.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one, too, if only because there's a large blonde man in the role.
Fine.
So what else have we got?
We got Green Lantern coming in June. This worries me a great deal. Mm. They're front-loading it with the fan service aspects. You look at the trailer, and people like me can go, oh, there's Sinestro, and there's Abin Sur, and there's Kilowog. But I noticed something happen after the trailer hit, that in the comics community there was this outward ripple of, oh, that looks kind of silly. That looks pretty silly. That doesn't look cool. That looks a little goofy.
Right.
And not whimsical, haha goofy, but sort of just, what is going on there?
Who is the director on that one?
It's Martin Campbell, who directed Casino Royale.
Oh, one of the newer James Bondy movies.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent.
So, yeah, but it's Ryan Reynolds in a skin-tight costume, which is basically his skin. Can't go wrong there. although it does look stupid. Looks a little dumb.
It does.
Blake Lively as Carol Ferris, his girlfriend, and I can't remember who said this, because it's a good line, but in the trailer, it seems as if she is pronouncing her lines phonetically. She's like, how this is like a very important test flight. Are you ready to go back to Titanic? It's the same.
I came back for you, Mary.
There you go. Right.
Obligatory Brett Favre.
So there's that. Any thoughts on Green Lantern?
I like Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's all I have.
Anybody else?
I have a question for you, Glenn.
Yeah.
How much do you worry, as a fan of many of these franchises,
mm-hmm.
about the Howard the Duck effect,
mm-hmm.
where traumatically bad movie version can kill the entire franchise?
Well, I mean,
can redefine and kill.
Can redefine. That's a good point. Case in point, Watchmen. Watchmen was,
right.
for years and years, the top-selling graphic novel of all time, consistently. After the film came out, it dipped. Now, it's coming back now. But sales of that book slowed because the film supplanted it. And I thought the film was kind of ponderous and pointless.
Right.
And, that's a real danger. Green Lantern is a third possibly a fourth tier character, so I'm not going to lose any sleep if all of a sudden he becomes a figure of fun.
Now, when they make an Aquaman movie.
Well, see, it's been doomed because of Entourage. Yeah. Entourage has killed any possibility for an Aquaman movie now and forever. They tried to make a television show of it, and it didn't go. So I think Aquaman's safe for a while.
Okay, good.
X-Men First Class coming in June, which is a prequel to the three X-Men films. It's directed by Michael Vaughn, who was supposed to direct X-Men 3 before Brent Ratner stepped in and Brent Ratnered all over everything. produced by Bryan Singer, and apparently he's doing an active producing role in this one, so he was the guy who directed the first two. It may take the sour taste of Wolverine out of our mouths. Wolverine was a film which contained not one, not two, but three overhead scream shots. Three is three too many. Yes. And X-Men 3, which was just lousy. I have a self-imposed media blackout on this one because it seems like it could be really good. And Captain America, the first Avenger, coming out in July. It's got three things going for it. Number one, he's fighting Nazis. Fighting Nazis is what you want to do as a hero.
Sure.
The two other things it has going for it are Chris Evans' pectoral muscles, which are the size of charger plates.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a publicity shot of this film where he's shirtless and looking there all huge. So there's that. Any thoughts on Captain America?
Once again, I like Chris Evans.
I don't like Nazis.
Good. See?
So, yeah.
So you're in.
We're on board for this one.
Right. Well, that's the superhero slot. There's some we haven't mentioned, but they're the ones that are kind of looming large on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. All right. Trey Graham, movies for 2011.
Well, I am looking forward to the Justin Bieber documentary, of course.
Yes.
Aren't we all?
I mean, it's called Never Say Never, which I hope means that young Mr. Floppy will find himself imperiled by Max von Sydow and Klaus Maria Brandauer.
In 3D.
Yeah.
In 3D.
In all his sonic glory.
All that hair.
3D and surround sound.
3D, yes.
Oh, gosh. I would like to note that the Justin Bieber film is currently scheduled to open opposite Romeo and Juliet.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
As well, and I am not making this up, as well as a documentary called Orgasm Inc.
Hmm.
I don't know what to do with that.
One would hope that people will only choose two of those three, whichever they may choose.
Two of those three.
I think that is a fair hope.
Two of those three to attend with their children.
Yes, so. But seriously, things I am actually looking forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Mars Needs Moms, which is
I've seen trailers for that.
Yes, the trailers look fairly promising. Animated comedy, kid, Mars, astronauts, moms.
Okay.
Martians.
I like several of
Needs.
Those things.
Yes. Also a film called Uncle Boon Mi, Who Can Recall His Past Lives. It's a Thai film. It won the Palme d'Or last year at Cannes. The director, he's got one of those wonderful multi-syllabic Thai names. I'm going to try this. Apishatpong Virasethical. I think is how it goes, but he calls himself Joe. I'm not
perfect.
Making
No. I don't blame him.
Appreciate it.
He is kind of
but highly regarded.
Yes, highly. He's kind of a cinephile's darling. Mm-hmm. And the film is, in the words of The Guardian, an episodic, non-linear, open-ended head-scratcher. Now, I have not seen it, but among other things, there is apparently a sex scene between a princess and a catfish.
So,
this is an art film, people.
And Green Lantern.
That also happens in the upcoming sequel to Big Mama's House. You know, I could actually see that happening at Big Mama's House.
Yeah.
All right.
Quite seriously, I asked Bob Mondello to tell us what he was looking forward to, and he pointed out Conspirator, which is a film about the Lincoln assassination, directed by Redford, starring James McAvoy, Evan Rachel Wood as Mary Surratt, the woman who is executed for conspiracy in the Lincoln assassination. Kevin Kline and Tom Wilkinson are in it. There seems to be pretty good buzz around it, so watch out for that. There is another animated film called Blue, which is about a macaw who apparently escapes from captivity and has to learn how to fly. Bob says it looks good.
Goes on a magical journey of discovery and learns to believe in himself?
Almost certainly, yes. Cowboys and Aliens is coming up, has a lot of things working in its favor. Of Gods and Men, which Mondello has actually seen, and says it's very, very good. It's about Trappist monks taken hostage by Islamic fundamentalists in Algeria. It apparently is a true story, but no one knows all the details, so they've had to make up a good deal of the narrative. Again, Bob says it's pretty terrific. And lastly, a film called Rango, which is about a chameleon whose lifelong dream is to be a swashbuckling hero. He is played by Johnny Depp, and it is directed by Gore Verbinski. Mm-hmm. And I think that is all I need to know.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Sounds very good. Thank you, Trey Graham, for that eclectic slate. Stephen Thompson, how about an eclectic slate from you?
Well, I am excited. A little bit of a curveball. I know, you know, I often fill the role of, like, dude who watches The Bachelor or whatever. But I am very excited about a Spanish language film coming up called El Bachelor, about a young man who must choose from among 25 beauties.
Oh, Steven.
I'm just kidding. There are a couple that I wrote down looking over the previews and everything. I have no idea if it's going to be any good, but there's a movie called Cedar Rapids that stars Ed Helms, who is an actor I basically always enjoy. And I know he, you know, even if he's in sort of bad or shambling movies and supporting roles, I just find him to just be an endlessly appealing sort of scene stealer. In spite of his, I know that he is your a cappella foe.
That's true.
But I just always like him and find him just tremendously winning in whatever he does. So I'm interested in his sort of his debut as a leading man.
Right.
And on behalf of my beloved 9-year-old son, by the time it comes out, he will be my 10-year-old son, but Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2.
Oh.
Yes. Based on the Diary of a Wimpy Kid book, Roderick Rules.
Now, did you guys go to see the first Wimpy Kid movie?
I did not actually take him to that. He has seen it about 19 times, but I did not get a chance to take him to that.
It was cute. It was fine.
Thompson, yeah. What about Kung Fu Panda?
Oh,
when is Kung Fu Panda 2?
But that's a summer movie.
Soon.
I looked at spring.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
You're keeping your eye on the shorter term right now.
I'm thinking short term. You know what?
You never know what may
happen. When you live as hard and as fast as I do,
oh my God.
You don't know for sure you're going to make it to Kung Fu Panda 2.
Don't buy any green bananas or
exactly.
Count on seeing Kung Fu Panda 2.
I'm also especially excited about Just Go With It, starring Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, with a truly hateful plot, directed by Dennis Dugan.
Yeah,
what could be better?
Dennis Dugan, who has made so many of the world's bad movies.
Among Dennis Dugan's other films, Grown Ups.
Oh.
You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Zohan. Oh, my God.
I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry. Wow.
How has this man been allowed to live?
Oh, he's
I had
like,
I'd forgotten that
he was...
There's
a common denominator there.
Oh. Beverly Hills Ninja. Now, he did do Happy Gilmore.
Yeah.
But the amazing thing about You Don't Mess with the Zohan is that I have seen it. And the reason that I have seen it... And
Problem
some
child?
And some of you know this story, but the reason that I have seen You Don't Mess with the Zohan is that while I was living in Brooklyn in an apartment with no air conditioning, it was like 108 degrees, and my pal Joe Reed and I were very, very desperate to leave the house, and that was all there was. I believe it was that or The Love Guru. Starring Mike Myers. And Joe and I chose You Don't Mess with the Zohan, and that is the only reason that Ms. Linda Holmes has seen You Don't Mess with the Zohan.
Was that the film that inspired your great chart of how hot it has to be on a summer day for you to see a given movie, and that you rate your interest in a movie based on the number of degrees? And I believe Meet Dave, starring Eddie Murphy, it had to be 130 degrees for you to see the movie just for the air conditioning.
That's true. That is absolutely true. So yes, Dennis Dugan. And actually, Stephen, that takes me into what I was going to talk about, which is you happened to mention Just Go With It, which is the... Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston, and the plot has something to do with he's pretending to have kids.
He pretends to be married with kids in order to pick up a woman, because if there's one thing women love, it's married men.
There
kids.
You go. What I was going to talk about, it is not that I'm looking forward to that movie. It is that what I would like to happen this year is I, as many of you know, am a fan of the romantic comedy, and it has been a dry season. It has been a difficult time for us since the rise of Gerard Butler as a romantic comedy leading man in movies such as The Ugly Truth, Terrible Movie, and The Bounty Hunter, possibly a worse movie.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Although
really?
I think The Ugly Truth is worse.
No, I remember you just...
Truth is more infuriating. I think The Bounty Hunter is more fully meritless. But at any rate, then, of course, last year, there was also The Switch with Jennifer Aniston and Jason Bateman with the also hateful premise of the guy drunkenly switching the sperm sample so that the woman is artificially inseminated with a different person's baby than she intended, which, if you think about it, in real life wouldn't be that funny.
Yeah.
Or legal.
And when you discover that many years later, would not be that charming, right? Yes. So
even by romantic comedy standards.
Yeah.
So it has been a rough time for this genre, to say the least.
Yeah, there's been a string of movies that sort of trade on the assumed stupidity of the leading ladies, right?
Right. I think that's fair to say. What's on tap for this year, first you've got that Jennifer Aniston...
Adam Sandler
thing. There are also at least two, and there may be more, but there are at least two of these sort of friends with benefits scenario movies, one of which is about to come out and has Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher in it, and it's not called Friends with Benefits. It's called The Other Thing. Not The Other Thing. It's called... but it's called... I just want to point out that our estimable producer, Mike Katzeff, knew that it's called No Strings Attached. So it's called No Strings Attached. It has, as I said, Natalie Portman and Ashton Kutcher. There is one later in the year that has Justin Timberlake and Mila Kunis, and that is called Friends with Benefits. So there are at least two coming out with this basic structure, something to do with sex without feelings, and it doesn't sound like a great premise for a romantic comedy, but on the other hand, you never know.
It sounds slightly better, more promising than it's switching
than sperm samples. Yeah.
It sounds, when you come to think of it, exactly like Pretty Woman.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, what was great, and I will digress briefly here in telling you that what was great about The Switch, in addition to the fact that I ran across the title of it about 3 or 4 months after I saw it and had to sit there thinking, I saw this movie. What was it? And I could not remember what it was until I thought, oh, yeah, it's the Jason Bateman sperm sample
movie. Oh, I hated that movie.
But when I first described this movie to Glenn, we had a conversation in which I started describing the plot, and he said, oh, I'm out. And I said, no, I've only just started. And I was describing the plot one point at a time. And he'd say, okay, no, now I'm really out. Yeah. And I would say, no. So then she decides to have a party where she will inseminate herself. Okay, now I'm really out. And it just cascaded to the point where before the movie even got to the stupidest part, Glenn had been out about 4 different times out of this movie.
Wait, you mean you bailed on the insemination party?
At any rate.
It's not the first insemination party I've...
I just left the ball hovering over the net. Right. All you had to do was just go...
That's true. All right. I want to give Glenn an opportunity to talk about a couple of movies he actually...
There's a couple. Besides all the superhero stuff, there's some I'm cautiously optimistic about. Paul is a film directed by Greg Mottola, who wrote and directed Adventureland.
Which I love.
A great film. Yeah. He directed several episodes of Arrested Development and several episodes of The Comeback, which was such a great show. It's written by Simon Pegg and Nick Frost. It's about two British guys going across the country, find an alien. The trailer looks pretty slapsticky, but those two guys, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, haven't let me down yet.
Yeah.
They did.
Yeah, those are funny people.
There's a lot of promise written all over that one.
So I'm into that. There's another one that I'm going to get some flack for, but it's called The Adjustment Bureau. It's based on a Philip K. Dick short story, and it stars Matt Damon and Emily Blunt, and it also stars Terrence Stamp and John Slattery as two mysterious dudes in gray suits and fedoras.
Perfect!
Who, for no particular reason, must keep these two apart because they are part of some kind of mysterious agency that keeps reality running smoothly. And this whole idea of there's a reality behind the reality, this paranoid science fiction, is just a genre that I really dig. It's what The Matrix was before it flew up its own narrative butt. It's a movie I love called Dark City. It was kind of based on this premise back in the 90s, I think. Uh-huh. And, of course, there's also a really cheesy Stephen King book called The Langoliers, which also plays with this a little bit.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. I also think, because there's so many fedoras running around in this film, it may kill the fedora fad dead.
Nice. Yes.
And all those insufferable people with their fixie bikes will have to start wearing burnouses or bowler hats or party hats or something.
Party hats.
Fezzes.
Fezzes would fezzes. Be good. Let's this movie start the fezzes. There's also a lot of, just retreads we're getting this year. We're getting a new Conan the Barbarian. We're getting a new Fright Night. Why are we getting a new Fright Night? A new Footloose, new Three Musketeers.
There's a remake of Arthur.
There's a remake of Arthur. Thank you. I forgot about that. And we're also getting, because we have demanded it, a body-swapping comedy starring Jason Bateman and Ryan Reynolds called The Change-Up. They swap bodies in the same way that Kirk Cameron and Dudley Moore did and George Burns and some kid did and Judge Reinhold and Fred Savage did and the Corys Feldman and Haim did and Lindsay Lohan and Jimmy Lee Curtis did and Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin did and Tom Hanks and some kid did and Ellen Barkin and Jimmy Smits did. I had no idea there was a genre, but there is
such a genre.
We're also getting two films which take as their premise the fact that NASA covered up an alien presence on the moon. One called Apollo 18. The new Transformers one kind of takes that sort of premise as well.
Nice.
Here's a question.
Retreads.
Why have they not remade, and correct me if I'm wrong in the half, why have they not remade Short Circuit? I was just thinking about that today. They could remake Short Circuit.
They did. It was called WALL-E.
That's true.
That's right. I'm just saying, you know, Elle DeBarge just made a comeback.
Right.
Just reboot the whole thing. Reboot everything about it.
Well, I'm glad to know that we all have at least some things to look forward to this year. And if you have things that you are looking forward to, feel free to come to the comments at Monkey C and tell us all about the movies that you are excited about this year, or in the alternative, why we are very silly to be excited about the movies that we are excited about this year. All right. So now that we have finished with movies, we are going to move on to a new little game we have this week, invented by me. I have the instructions right here.
Wow. Does it have a theme song?
She has a piece
does
of
Does it
paper?
Have sound effects?
It does not have a theme song.
Can we write one?
It does not, no.
Hmm.
This is the theme song to Linda's quiz.
Yeah. This game is called Phil, Favre, or Fortune.
Oh.
The way you play Phil, Favre, or Fortune Cookie is that I will read you a quote. Mm. This is either a quote from drphil.com.
Oh, good. Good, good, good.
It is a quote from Brett Favre. Or it is a quote from a fortune cookie as found at an online fortune cookie generating website, which I will happily link to. So I'm going to go around, and you will get an opportunity to answer whether you think this is drphil.com, Brett Favre, or a fortune cookie.
Excellent game.
I'm going to start with you, Glenn.
Okay.
Open your heart. It can always be closed again.
Hmm. I'm going to say it's not quite homespun and folksy enough for Dr. Phil.
Really?
It has some multiple syllables in there, so it's not Favre. So I'm going to go with fortune cookie.
That is correct.
That's right.
I had a bell.
I was guessing Dr. Phil.
Excellent.
Clearly, I have underestimated Dr. Phil.
Yeah.
All right. Trey Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
Here's one for you. How you deal with good is just as important as how you deal with bad.
Tough one.
All monosyllables, right? No, there's an important in there. Darn it. I'm still going to go with Favre.
That is Brett Favre.
Woo! That would have been my guess as well.
Ding, ding, ding. All right. Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
I like to be excited in my life. I go to bed at night and I just want to sleep fast and jump back up because I'm wasting time sleeping.
First of all, by process of elimination, but also
the
because
weirdest fortune cookie.
It's clearly not a fortune cookie, and that doesn't sound Favre-esque to me because it's not about how much he loves playing football. So I am going to go with Dr. Phil.
Ding! That is also correct.
Good at this.
All right, Glenn Weldon. Mm. Champions get what they want because they know what they want.
Champions. Well, champions is not a word that pops up on too many fortune cookies, I'm guessing. So I'm going to go with Phil, Dr. Phil.
Oh, ding, you're correct. Yeah. Thought maybe I could fool you into thinking
it
was
Brett. Did not
Favre.
Sound like Favre to me.
The champions was throwing me off.
That's true.
It's been so long since he had one.
Zing,
zap.
Trey Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
If you're being pushed to your limit every day and you think about giving up, you'll someday cave in.
Dr. Phil.
That is also Dr. Phil.
Yay.
Ding, 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 ding. All right, Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
I'd write over and over, I will not throw into coverage.
Okay. Let me just think. Through process of elimination, Brett Favre is a football player, so him.
Yes. That is true. Ding! You guys are way too good at this.
But wait, and yet he still does.
Dr. Phil looks like he played football at some point in his life.
That's true.
Could have been him.
Could have been him. But it wasn't. It was Brett Favre, and Stephen got me. Stephen got me.
That one was tough.
You almost got me on that one.
Unless that had been Dr. Phil talking, giving advice to Brett Favre. Mm-hmm.
Which really he should.
Yeah.
All right. Glenn Weldon, there is always a way if you're committed.
Well, we haven't had any fortune cookies here.
No, we've had one.
We did? I'm going to say fortune cookie.
Ding! It's a fortune cookie. I can't get you people with any of these. All right. Trey Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
Life deals you a lot of lessons. Some people learn from it. Some people don't.
Dr. Phil.
That is Brett Favre.
I'm the first one down.
One point for me. All right. Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
A good way to stay healthy is to eat more Chinese food.
I'm going to go with fortune cookie.
That is correct. It is a fortune cookie. Glenn Weldon.
Yep.
The big issues are work, career, and status right now.
Phil.
That is a fortune cookie. Oh.
The big issues are
work, career, or status right now.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say that also sounds a little like Favre. At least in philosophy.
Okay. Trey Graham.
Pass. No, I want Mike Katzef to have to answer one.
All right. Mike Katzef, our Ask a Mobile producer. The more generous you are about making other people feel like stars, the more star quality you yourself will possess.
I'm going to say Brett Favre.
That is Dr. Phil.
Oh. All right. Return to your corner, Mike Katzef.
I'm going back to Trey Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
Why dwell on something that hasn't happened?
Ooh, fortune cookie.
Brett Favre.
Yeah, that would have been my guess on it.
I'm off my rhythm.
Stephen Thompson.
Yes.
Don't find fault, find a remedy.
Okay, that is not Favre. I'm going to say Dr. Phil.
That is a fortune cookie.
I knew it! I knew whichever one I guessed, it was going to be the other one.
Let's see. Glenn Weldon. Sometimes it takes risk, it gets scary, but if you are going to do it, work towards something that matters to you.
It's not a fortune cookie. I'm going to go with Phil.
That is Phil.
Yeah.
Very, very good. All right, hang on. I got to see what I have left. Trey Graham.
Yes, ma'am.
Talent gets you to a certain point, but it's what you do with it.
I'm going to say Dr. Phil.
That is Brett Favre.
Damn.
I did them all.
Okay.
That is actually all of the Phil Favre fortune cookie questions that I have for you.
I think what we've proven today is that there are clear differences among those three noble entities.
Very different sources of wisdom, and yet occasionally confused with one another.
Right. I recommend not putting too much faith in any of them.
This has been Phil Favre or Fortune Cookie.
Phil Favre.
I hear that Favre is more profound in the original Chinese.
Very good. And I hope that Stephen appreciated getting a couple easy ones there. In the the one about, you know, throwing it to
coverage.
Anyway,
yeah. If only Favre had gotten a fortune cookie that told him not to throw into coverage, you know, NFL history would have gone much differently.
And we can wrap up this week, as we often do, with a discussion of something that is making you happy this week. Glenn Weldon, something making you happy this week.
Indolence, lassitude, sloth.
So what you're saying is you didn't do the homework.
No. This touches back on movies. Had a good day with the boyfriend yesterday. We went out. We saw True Grit in the theater. Mm-hmm. And then we came back and we had a frosty beverage or two. And we saw another movie. We saw Volver, which we've been kind of waiting on seeing for a while. And as I was sitting there enjoying the film at home on the couch with a frosty beverage, I thought to myself, this is why movies are dying. Because I like this. I enjoyed this experience.
Oh, yes, the lying about.
To the going to the theater, where this one woman was ahead in front of us texting. A guy behind us was describing, obviously on a first date, describing the Coen brothers' oeuvre to his girlfriend. Oh. Just insufferable. Awesome. And there's other people, you know, they are hell. So I didn't say it.
No, I know it's not your line.
But being at home, my boyfriend's bladder, which is the size of a pine nut, is tiny. We can make allowances for that.
Yeah.
I have a nice television. I have a nice couch.
I like your house.
I am going to be going to less films from now on. It's just inevitable. So I know this is not what directors want to hear. There was an article in the LA Times on Monday where Oliver Stone and Baz Luhrmann and somebody else were talking about how things are happening, and Oliver Stone was talking about how he sees his daughter watching movies on her phone, and he dies a little inside.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Everything makes that guy die.
That's true. You know,
injustice.
This was making me happy.
Hey, it's not what's making the film industry happy.
It's not what's making Oliver Stone happy.
It's true.
Good. I would add to that it is incredibly cost effective to just always stay 6 months behind.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you can buy the DVD of anything you're going to see, especially if you're seeing it in 3D. Mm-hmm. You can watch it at home. Yeah. If you just always stay 6 months behind the times, movie-wise, this stupid podcast is wrecking my pocketbook.
That's what I was just thinking.
Because we're going to be talking about the Oscars in an upcoming episode, and I'm going to have to see 10 movies.
See 10 movies. That's going to be a significant cash outlay.
And the odds that I'm going to see each and every one of them alone in a theater while wearing a trench coat are not enormously high. I'm probably going to have to go with someone. Sometimes I might even have to pay.
Yeah.
And that is going to cost serious scratch.
It's true.
Yeah, the increasing appetite of the American public for specifically this kind of movie consumption is probably this year going to tip into something that is seriously threatening the Hollywood system.
I think you may see more of a lag between theatrical releases and DVD releases.
Mm-hmm. No, it's moving the opposite way.
It's been moving the opposite way.
It's been, but I'm saying the pendulum might swing
back.
I don't think it can. I don't think it's
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see. At any rate, I like a nice movie at home too. Mm-hmm. Glenn Weldon. All right, Trey Graham, making you happy this week?
What is making me happy this week is the imminent prospect of a Broadway musical called The Book of Mormon. It is from the creators of Avenue Q, and wait for it, the creators of South Park.
Right.
Oh.
I wonder if that's going to be controversial.
I wonder. Do you think?
That's,
do you think there might be some conversation about this?
Everyone angry.
Yeah. Yeah. It has been described by Vogue as an extravaganza of jaw-dropping obscenity, hair-raising blasphemy, and irresistible good cheer.
And Vogue would know.
Vogue would know.
no greater an authority than Vogue.
Listen to Vogue when it comes to theater. Who can you listen to?
Yeah, it starts previews on February 24th, opens toward the end of March at the Eugene O'Neill, of all places. And it is one of the most highly anticipated things of the Broadway spring season, and I personally cannot wait.
So, Trey, do you know if they're taking their brilliant South Park episode about the Book of Mormon? Are they just taking that and playing with it, or is it something brand new?
You have stumped me. Okay. It is, if I had to guess, I would say it is probably derived from that episode. It is about two missionaries on a mission somewhere inappropriate.
Uh-huh. Wow, what could possibly be offensive about that?
So, Trey Graham, as often is the case, is made happy by musical theater.
Yep. I'm also made happy by the board game that I played over the weekend, which is called Be a Broadway Star.
Wow.
And it's kind of like the game of life, except that... when you roll the dice, you land on spaces like acting class and auditions and what else?
Compound fractures.
Yeah.
Spider-Man version.
Oh.
Sorry.
That's the
Wow.
Yeah. Sorry.
Too soon?
Too soon.
But one of the challenges, when you land on an audition space, you get a card that says whether you've been cast or cut, right? If you get cast in a show, then you can win another turn, another roll of the dice, by singing two consecutive bars from one of the songs from that show.
Do you have to know them ahead of time?
Yes!
So everyone else has to be trusted to judge whether you've accurately done that?
The rest of the table plays the audition judges. So,
I see.
It is in some ways a competitive game, but if you're too competitive, then everybody else will get judgy on you.
I see.
So there was wine.
Yeah, I bet there was.
And there were people answering questions like Trey just did. Yes.
Yeah, that's true. Anyway, very good. Glad to know Trey Graham, musical theater and board games, making you happy. How about you, Stephen Thompson? What's making you happy this week?
I was racking my brain for what is making me happy? And when I thought of what is making me happy, I got actually giddy. Do you know what it's like when you have a really, really bad cold, like a really miserable cold, or like wasp stings, or a canker sore, you have a malady of some kind, and you think, the next time I don't feel like this, I need to take stock of the fact that I don't feel like this.
Right. Hmm.
I'm not sick, I don't have a canker sore, I'm not covered in bee stings. Awesome.
Yes.
And you always forget. Uh-huh. The moment you wake up feeling better, uh-huh, you just boop, 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 go on about your day.
Yep.
You completely forgot that you were...
You forget to rejoice.
And what occurred to me is that it is no longer 2010.
There you go.
We are free of the figurative wasp stings of that abysmal turkey of a year. Right now, we are recording this on January 10th, 2011. This episode will go live on January 14th. And at that point, on the website where you can find a copy of this, you will see no listicles listing the 20 things that the movies, none of it.
I believe some of them involved music. Perhaps one or two.
Many of them involved music. I had to edit all of them. Mm-hmm. What is making me happy is a little bit of perspective, that as many asinine things as have already happened in 2011, at least it's not 2010.
Having survived 2010. Right.
Absolutely.
Very good.
My top one observation of 2011 so far.
Okay, so what is making me happy this week? I have already talked about on the blog, but I'm going to talk about it one more time because I watched it again last night. I, of all people, got completely preposterously sucked into this masterpiece classic that they're showing on PBS, which is a British series, Downton Abbey. It's finally come to PBS. They started showing it this past Sunday night. I'm sure if you check your listings, it's repeating all week until they show the next one this coming up Sunday night. There will ultimately be four 90-minute episodes. I don't know how to describe it. It is great for fans of fancy British period dramas and also great for fans of Grey's Anatomy, I would say, based on its intrigue, secrecy, star-crossed lovers. It's extremely soapy, but beautifully executed and wonderfully acted, and it includes a substantial performance from Dame Maggie Smith, who is really, if you're going to have somebody delivering withering
lines,
withering insults at people, you really cannot do any better than it. There's some moment where someone says to her, "Oh, I didn't take it as an insult," and she says, "I must have said it wrong." And it's just the sort of thing that will really, really make you giggle. It is extremely romantic, very funny, in some places very, very funny, very kind of crazy. You keep sort of seeing things and you go, "Wow, really?" And then just, you know, it's just one crazy plot twist after another.
Well, this is written by Julian Fellowes, the guy who did Gosford Park, right?
Yes.
Much has been made of how sumptuously filmed and produced it is. You know, the most expensive BBC production of all time.
In addition to that, it's just really, story-wise, I just found it very compelling. And it really kind of, it sucked me in. I started watching it. This is a true story. I started watching it Friday night. It's 6 hours long. I had a screener. It's 6 hours long. I started watching it Friday night at about 6:30.
I'm picturing you sitting there with a teapot and, you know, maybe a fan.
Well, I started watching it Friday night at 6:30 when I was still at work. So I had to, you know, go home in the interim. And despite that fact, I started watching a six-hour miniseries at 6:30 on Friday night and was done with it by about 10 o'clock on Saturday morning.
Wow.
Because it's like, put in another day. I fell asleep watching it Friday night. I watched it as long as I could until I fell asleep. And then I woke up in the morning and I was like, "Oh no, I fell asleep." And then I got to get back to it. So then I had to find my place. And it's just, it's the kind of frantic fandom that I do not often devote to British period dramas. Me, of all people. But it's absolutely fantastic and I highly recommend it. And absolutely, you know, everybody except Stephen should try it.
My issue with it is that I read it and I think, "That's a typo." But
that's right.
Downton Abbey. My iPhone is sure that it is supposed to be Downton.
The first several times that I saw it, I thought exactly the same thing. I think it's hard not to. And seriously, I had just watched it Friday into Saturday. It aired, the first episode aired Sunday night, and I watched it again. So it's, you know, it's a big favorite of mine.
Excellent.
So that's what's making me happy. And that brings us to the end of Pop Culture Happy Hour. And thanks to all of you guys for being here, as always.
Thank you.
Always a pleasure.
And thanks to all of you. You can follow us on Twitter. You can follow me and the blog at NPR Monkey C. You can follow Glenn at G.H. Weldon. That's W-E-L-D-O-N. You can follow Trey at Trey Graham, which Stephen likes to say as
Trey with an E, then Graham like the cracker.
And if you really like it when Stephen does that, you might want to follow Stephen at I Dislike Stephen, which is S-T-E-P-H-E-N. You can also follow our wonderful producer, Mike Katziff, at Mike Katziff. That's K-A-T-Z-I-F. Mike's band Hello Come In provides our in-and-out music, which we love and we know that you love. And thanks to everybody who sends us tweets and emails and other supportive loveliness, which we always, always appreciate. And we will see all of you next week.
Go Pack Go.
Go Pack Go.